Would you all stand for the reading of God's Word, please? Open your Bibles to 1 Timothy, the first chapter. Starting at verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And then in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. And then Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, he will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. Let's pray. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you for those verses. We thank you that we are a joy to you, and that you rejoice over us because we rejoice over you. We ask you to make our innermost being awake to the Word today, and let it do its work. Oh God, we thank you for this place, and for your Word, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. This morning, as we go to the Word of God, I am changing my message completely this morning. We were going to preach from the Old Testament, and since I've been on the platform, I'm changing it. And I want you to give me your undivided attention. Whenever we preach on this type of message, it is always teaching us to deny ungodliness. It is always teaching us to live quietly with the Word of God dwelling richly in our hearts in this present evil world. But what is the force that more than anything in the world could heal us? We do everything to be healed physically. We do everything to be well physically. But the greatest force to heal us is so misunderstood. For example, the first thing is to understand the ever-revealing nature of God. And the very first need, is to be loved by God. That's the first need. You know what the second need is? To be loved by God. And I'll tell you what the third need is, to be loved by God. That comes first. We love him. No, it says not that we loved him. Not that we loved him. I'll say that again. 1 John 4:10. What is love? Not that we loved him, but that God loved us and gave his Son as a propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. So the first need for every kind of healing in every situation isn't trying to do something about something. That isn't it. The first need is to be loved by God just as we are. God loves us just as we are, and He keeps right on loving us just as we are. And God's love never demands a change. Never demands a change. Let me say that again. God's love does not demand a change. See? It produces one. There's a tremendous difference between demanding a change. If you can get what I'm going to say this morning in your personal lives, in your friendships, in your marriage, in your family, God's love never demands a change. It produces one. Now, God, when we were without strength in due time, died for us. While we were yet sinners, He commendeth His love toward us and died for us. Now picture that for just a moment. Romans 5:6, 5:8. You see, that's expressing 1 John 4:10 and 4:19. He not only loved us, He did something about it. We didn't do anything. We didn't do anything. We didn't repent to make God love us. He loved us without our repenting. Am I suggesting living in sin? No, I'm not. I said God's love produces a change, but never demands it. The first tremendous thing that is needed by every single person, I don't care if they're pastors or pastors' wives or believer priests, whatever, is to be loved of God just as you are. Number two, do not try to love God. Number three, do not try to love others. Because the moment you do, you will fail. Now, to be loved by God with a love that can never fail you, or a love that will never change toward you. For this reason, the Word of God says in Zephaniah 3:17 that He rested in His love and He rejoiced over them with singing. So when Jesus Christ died and shed His blood and on the cross and paid for our sins and was buried and rose again and went to heaven, then this is what happened. God rested in His love forever toward you, toward everyone that believes. This is why the Word of God says in Romans 9:16, it is not him that willeth, not a man that willeth. Then it says it's not a man that runneth, but God showeth mercy. You understand Romans 9:16? It says, as many as receive Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, those that were born not of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of blood, but of God. And He begat us in James 1:18 through His own will, and that's why we should be swift to hear in James 1:19a. All right, now I'm going to be very practical. Then, how do I deal with a bad relationship? Worry about it? No. Condemn myself? No. Get guilty? No. Do everything in the flesh to make a fair display in Galatians 6:12? No. When a relationship is bad, I simply let God's word be true and let Him love me. What if I'm failing? Let God love me. What if I have no strength to change? Let God love me. But God loved me. Will his love fail? No. Will it stop? No. Will it change? No. Will it continue? Yes. So here's a guy that calls up and in a very bad condition and says he found out he had HIV. He failed 3 times in 15 years. The third time, he got HIV. He wants to die. He's so ashamed, he said, told his wife. What must he do? Well, he already hates what he did. But now he's got to let God love him with HIV just as much as he loved him before he had it. This does not produce lawlessness. I want you to understand. The wedding yesterday, we had downtown, and I got the usual whisper, I have not kissed him. I said, if I had a guy like him, I wouldn't kiss him after I married him. I'm only teasing. I didn't say that. It's just a joke. Now, the most beautiful thing is to let God love you as you are. I'm going to keep saying it over and over again. I have a reason. Because the only thing that can heal the memory and heal the soul and change your self-image and change your own attitude is to let God love you. God says, what is love? Not that we love God. It says that God loved us first. You see, the reason that a man can't love his wife and a wife cannot love her husband is they don't understand how to be loved by God. And they don't understand the depths of God's love. Now think with me for a moment this morning. In Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he did predestinate, he did call. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, those verses tell me something. In the foreknowledge of God, because he knew my volition would believe on his Son and accept him, I was justified, sanctified, and glorified, and God was for me from knowing that I would believe he was always for me. And he rested in his Son's love toward me because the sins were paid for by him. Now, here's a person in the hospital who called me in another ministry, and he said, I've attacked you, I've hated you, I've fought God, and I'm dying, and I'm 29 years of age, and I'm dying, and I want to repent. And I said, well, the only thing I'm interested in is you let God love you. He said, no, they say I'm going to die. I said, will you let God love you? Just be loved. Just be loved. To this AIDS person, just be loved. Just be loved. To this person who said he had done wrong, and just be loved. See? Just be loved. In the state that you're in, just be loved. Let God love you. And you know, God loved him, and in 12 weeks, he came out of the hospital. We baptized him in the church that he had hated in the past. But he let God. I visited him every single day, 7 days a week, and I kept saying it. Just let God love you. And then, and as Matthew 22:37 says, he started to love God with his heart. That is, with the motivation of thinking, with the operational behavior, God changed him. He didn't demand a change. He produced it. And then his thoughts and emotions and decisions were made by the words of God. And his heart changed. Then his soul changed. Then his mind changed. Then the wife that he battled for years, he began to love her. And he began to love his daughters. And he began to love the church. And he began to love the lost. You see, the whole key for him was he didn't love himself. And see, that was the very key. Inwardly, he did not love himself. And he didn't think God loved him. That was the whole key. And it also, and he testified in our church, it also healed his body. And love can do that in the will of God. The more I let God love me without putting myself on trial, the more I let God love me without guilt, the more I let God love me without fear of failure, the more I let God love me without being resentful to others and angry to them, the more I let God love me, the more that every single thing gets healed. Everything. In the sovereign will of God, whatever the will of God is. But at least I am healed. My heart, my soul, my mind, my emotions are healed by letting God love me. A 12-year-old girl came and said, I'm in a broken home, and they're in and out. One leaves, and then the other one leaves on weekends, and they fight, and they scream, and there's alcoholism, and I'm afraid to go home, and I don't know what to do. And she said, you're a pastor. And she said, you're my pastor. Can you come to the house? She said, right away. So I went to the house. I didn't even eat dinner. I went right to her house. And this is what happened. She very uniquely said to her father, she said, I want you to listen to the pastor. 12 years of age. And I said, you know, thousands of years ago, Jesus knew that I'd be here today as a servant of God. And sir, if I could put in words how much God loves you right now, if I could just put it in words, and if you could possibly believe it. And he said, our family is destructive. We're dysfunctional. I said, that's true. But I want you to let God love you first without condemnation. And I'm not even asking you to change in your drinking habits. And he cried like a baby. That night after church, we went out. He accepted Jesus Christ. Never took another drink. He just couldn't believe. Then his wife accepted. Then they were baptized. And that little 12-year-old girl just had the day of her life. I mean, they had their picture taken, gave it to me. I said, I'm not here right now to discuss how bad you are. Because psychologically, there's a lot of reasons why you're that way, and emotionally and genetically, and we're not going into that. We are going in that God created you in His own image, and then we came the fall in human depravity, and we're here to discuss right this moment how much God is in love with you. It's strange. It produced repentance. See, we didn't discuss their sins, but the love of God produced repentance. The love of God produced change. The love of God produced a new beginning. The love of God produced a new self-image. The love of God produced a new awareness. The love of God produced faith. The love of God produced hope. The love of God revealed mercy, and the love of God revealed grace. And they personalized it. They internalized it. It was imparted to them. It became a part of them. Is it any wonder that 1 Corinthians 13 says that love never fails? Never. Micah in chapter 7 in verse 9, he said, God's indignation is against me, he said, because I have sinned. But, he said, the Lord is going to plead my cause, and he's going to execute judgment for me, he said, for me. And then he said, light will come unto me, and I shall see his righteousness. Micah was down when he said that. He had sinned, but he understood God's love for him. And he said that God is right down here with me. He said, I have sinned, but God is right down here with me. And he said, I'm going to come back, because he said, the light of love is going to be executed for me. The light of love is going to be executed for me. The light of forgiveness is going to be executed for me. The first thing that the love of God does, it guarantees you that God loves you as you are, without strength, while you're yet a sinner. The second thing it does is love you where you are. And the third thing it does is to justify you while you're ungodly, in Romans 4:5. The next thing it does is to make you righteous apart from the law of works, in Romans 4:6. The next thing God's love does is sanctify you and make you the not only the righteousness, but the redemption and sanctification of God, in 1 Corinthians 1:30. The next thing it does, it guarantees you God will never charge you with another sin. And the next thing it does, if you continue to sin, it'll discipline you because of love, not outside of love. You understand that? The discipline will be because of love, to provide and protect and to bless, not against love. Now, there's a beautiful verse that we've used, but I want to use it in a little different way this morning, in Jeremiah 31:3. Jeremiah, when they were worshiping idols, said, God said, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I will draw thee. He did not say, I will love you if you get right. He did not say, if you'll stop worshiping idols, I'll love you. He said, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I'll draw thee. And again, O Israel, thou virgin. See? Oh, there's so many ifs. There are so many ifs in our love. There are so many ifs in our relationships. There are so many ifs that stop mental and emotional healing, and sometimes physical healing. But God didn't say, I'll love you if. He said, I have loved you while you're out there. Didn't the father love the prodigal while he was out there? Yes, he did. Did the father love the prodigal just as much when he was out in the far country as he did when he was right at home? Yes, he did. The father's love did not change when the prodigal was living in sin. It just waited patiently to give him grace when his volition decided to come back just as he was. And just as he was, he received forgiveness and cleansing and the ring and the shoes and the fatted calf and the robe, just as he was. See, there is such an important thing to understand. The greatest ointment that the human race needs, with all that's happened to society, with all the depths of sin going on with all the terrible dysfunctional families and dysfunctional individuals, the greatest thing is to get alone and deal not with your sin, but deal with how much God loves you. And keep right on dealing with how much God loves you. And don't deal with your sin. And God's love deals with the sin. Why? It produces a change. The Holy Spirit sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts in Romans 5:5. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. And the love of God produces. See, when I receive God's love and when I deal with God loving me, then God's disposition takes over. God's temperament comes in. And I don't even realize it, but I'm receiving it and receiving it and receiving it. And His nature comes in. And His nature begins to commune. And His nature fellowships. And of course, that nature doesn't sin. That nature doesn't have to sin because it's God's nature. So, when it says that we walked in times past according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the attitude of wrath that worketh in the children of disobedience. But then it says, wherein his great love, wherein he loved us. He was rich in mercy, rich in grace, and his great love wherein he loved us. You see, the change was this. We were walking according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to children of disobedience. That's where we were. But God, who was rich in mercy, wherein his great love, loved us in those three states. See, it's getting to know how much we were loved that saved us by grace through faith and brought Jesus Christ into our lives with the love of the Father and the love of the Son and the love of the Spirit internalized and personalized. You see, when the liquid waves of love live every day in the cells of your body, in your, see, it's not human emotion. It's divine love. You say, but I don't feel I've done right. Then just accept love when you did wrong. You see, I don't feel spiritual. Then accept love when you don't feel anything. Just receive God's love. And God's love will produce not only love, but joy and peace and long-suffering and patience and divine goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and meekness and temperance. Now I want to close with this. In Matthew 11, Jesus said this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Watch this. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am lowly in heart, and my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Do you know what the yoke is? I'll tell you what the yoke is. Love. You know what the yoke is? Love. What is take my yoke? Take my love upon you. God is love. 1 John 4:10. God is love. 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4:19. God is love. So the Word of God says, take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is very easy. I guess it is. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Where is the Father resting in Zephaniah 3:17b? In His love. What's the rest that we'll find? In His love. You see it? The Father's resting in His love. So I take the yoke and let Jesus love me and love me first, second, third, fourth, just as I am and without change. Let Him love me. And then it produces a change because of the power of love, the dynamics of love, the faith of love, the mercy of love, the grace of love, the presence of love, So it produces change. And as it produces change, then I've been healed. Now, watch this. Now, I must learn this. I am not to love others. First, I'm to love myself first. See, God, then myself. But how am I going to love God unless I love myself? Or how am I going to love myself? By letting God love me. What is love? Not that I love God. So what is the first thing? Letting God love me. What is the second thing? Love myself. What is the next thing? Love God. What is the next thing? Now I'm very free to love you and everybody, even my enemies. Oh, if you could get this little thing. We've often got it backwards, but first, it isn't to love God. It's to let God love me. Next, love yourself. There comes a new self-image. There comes new self-awareness. There comes a new sense of being special, a new sense of being righteous with God's righteousness, sanctified with God's sanctification of His blood. Now, I love myself. Then I love God through the Holy Spirit. Then I love others. And then finally, I love my enemies. And you know what? I'm healed. Nothing between. Nothing between. Is Pastor Anderson here? Nothing between. Come on, sing that song. Give. Nothing between. Is it any wonder that David said, oh, His mercies are sure? Is it any wonder that 1 Peter 5:10 says He's the God of all grace? Is it any wonder that John says He's love? Peter says He's the God of all grace. Paul says He's the God of all mercies in 2 Corinthians 1:3. Is it any wonder that they say He's all forgiving? I have been forgiven. You have been forgiven. We've been cleansed. We've been purified by faith. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. Just as we are. First, second, third. Then His love never fails. Then His love will never fail to change us. Then His love will never fail to change others through us. Do you hear that? See? It'll never fail. It'll never fail to change others through us. And I think the greatest dynamic force in this world is to let it loose. I'm not talking about sentimentality. I'm not talking about carnality. I'm talking about what the Bible says about God's love for us while we were yet sinners. Abraham, I love you. You haven't spoken to me for 13 years, but I love you. Jacob, you've gone away and backslid for 20 years, but I love you. I'm going to use you. Gideon, you're hiding and you don't want to be used. Samson, you've done wrong, but I love you. Take your power back and destroy the enemies. Peter, you denied me, but I love you. Publicly, you forsook me, but I love you. Paul, you murdered Christians, but I saved you and I love you. Despite Romans 7, I love you. See, there it is. In John 13, 1, He loved His own till the end. You know what that means? Why did it say till the end? Because they denied Him and backslid and forsook Him when He needed them the most, but it didn't change His loving them till the end. He's going to love you till your end. In closing, He that has begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Christ. If you're into sin this morning, let God love you where you're at and let God love you to produce a change. Let God love you where you're at and let God love you so much it produces a pure change. See? It's responding to God's love. That's what it is. It's responding to God's nature. That's all it is. Oh, I hope that you'll go out of here and let God love you. Would you bow your heads? With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here today and you have not received Christ, He died, shed his blood, his spirit rose again. And say this, I believe, I want to be saved this morning. I want to be born again. I accept Christ. Raise your hand. Put it up high. Put it up high. I want to be saved while they sing just as I am. I want to be saved. Put your hand up high. Way up. One in the middle. Thank God. Is there another? Thank God. Is there another? I believe he died, shed his blood. I believe he loves me. And listen, if you're backslidden today, will you say, I'll accept his love? If you're guilty today, will you be freed from guilt by his love? If you're in bondage to drugs, will you let him love you out of it and love you as you are? If you're in bondage to alcohol, will you let him love you? Thank God for the one on the left. Thank God for the one on the right. Is there another? If you feel feeble and weak, will you let him love you without any, when you don't have any strength at all? Just go home and say, I am loved by God. That's all. I am loved by God. And believe it with all your heart. Is there another? Raise your hand. Is there another? Is there another? Raise your hand. Put it up high to the left. Up there to the left. Keep them up. Put them way up high to the left. I want to be saved. Is there another? Way up to the left. To the left. And is there another? To the right, in the middle. I accept Christ as my Savior. Is there another? Now today, in the closing moments, let God love you into healing. Let his love, because his love is the greatest healing force. His love can do more in an hour than 55 sessions with a psychologist. Not against that if you have to do it, but I'm just saying his love can do the job. Believe me, it can.
Nothing between my soul and the Savior, not of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clean, let nothing between. Nothing between like worldly pleasure, habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my heart from him ever sever. He is my all, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clean, let nothing between. The third verse reads like this. Nothing between. Like pride or station, self or friends shall not intervene. Though it may cost me much tribulation, I am resolved there's nothing between. The fourth verse. Nothing between in many hard trials, though the whole world against me convene, watching with prayer and much self-denial, triumph at last with nothing between.
Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clean, let nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clean, let nothing between.
Okay. That's what love produces. Amen. Worship God before we dismiss you today. Worship Him with all your heart. This is a God you can get to know and not be afraid. This is not a God that's out to get you. It's not a God that's out to condemn you. It's not a God, if some little thing happens, the house is going to fly out and get mad and have a meeting over it. This is a God that's going to love you. This is a God that can so transform our hearts that we're transformed. We haven't even tried. We just let Him do it. It's all grace, but it's through the power of God's nature of love. All right, let's praise Him and thank. Thank you. Praise. Any way you want, clap, shout, praise, wave. Praise. We love you, Father. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. We love you. That's the God of Calvary that we preach this morning, the Christ of Calvary. The Christ of Calvary. That's the Christ of Calvary. Father, we respond by just saying, we do accept your precious love moment by moment. We receive it. We receive it. We're thankful and grateful. Now, as the love goes to us, it's bound to go through us. Amen. Goes to you, and then it goes through you. Could use a lot of analogies, but I don't think they'd be proper at this time. Father, we just ask you to bless the congregation today. We thank you for those that were saved. We pray that backs, lungs, liver, bodies will be healed today. We pray that this love will just love people right out of bondage. Not that they have to change, but we pray that we'll love them right out of it because it produces it. Protect this afternoon, tonight, from accidents and diseases, and bring us back together with the same expectation, experience of love, being loved by God. Somebody said, I just don't love Him, so what? Don't worry about it. He never said, you gotta love me. He said, let me love you, and then you will love me. See, the whole thing is, how are you going to love Him unless He first loves you? He doesn't want fleshly works. He wants the grace to do it all. So, Father, bless the door offering for the poor and dismiss us in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.